Welcome to Radio Blast, dear friends and dear listeners. God bless you all. Today we are continuing the study of Revelation chapter 11. And the last time we studied the first two scriptures, so today we continue from verse 3. Dora, would you like to read?
Verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. This 1,260 days, is that the 1,260 that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah,
the same thing?
Yeah, exactly. Because he's talking about the whole chapter, as you will see, he's talking about the beast. The same beast of chapter 13.
Okay, and what's this two witnesses? I will give power unto my two witnesses. Two witnesses appear on the stage here.
Yeah, these two witnesses are two very special. If you read the verse 4.
Shall I read it?
Yeah, it tells you the two witnesses are.
These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth.
Okay, so basically, these are two olive trees. If you go to Zechariah chapter 4, you want to go there?
Yes.
Zechariah 4, it talks about who these two witnesses are. Verse 2 and 3. You want to read it? Zechariah
yes.
4, 2 and 3.
And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, and a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and other upon the left side of it.
Okay, verse 14 too.
And then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth.
All right.
It's the same words.
It's the same.
That stand by the Lord of the whole earth.
Yeah, now repeat. Go back to chapter 11 now, okay. Revelation 11.
These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth.
Okay.
Why olive trees and why candlestick?
Yes, because you see, during the Great Tribulations, there is going to be darkness in the world. There won't be like Christian TV channels. The Antichrist is going to control everything, all right? Your cellular phone, the email, the computers. Okay, there's been a great scandal with the Snowden scandal that it revealed that United States are controlling everything. But you see, he sought refuge in Russia, but even Russia was kind of wishy-washy because Russia is doing the same thing. So basically, what's going to happen again, the Christ is going to take all this technology, and especially is going to have the people receive the mark of the beast, which I believe, together with many others, is going to be the microchip, because it's a radio transmitter, GPS things. You know, if you have a cellular phone in your pocket, through the GPS satellite, they know every time where you are.
Okay, but what does this have to do with the two witnesses?
Well, I'm getting there. So it's like the Antichrist is going to know if you use a computer, a cellular phone, whatever, anything that has some microchip inside, they will know where you are. So basically, we will not be able to use all these modern electronics. And how is God going to help us and lead us and speak to us and minister to us and shepherd us? How is God going to do that? He's going to do it in a supernatural way. Like, he's going to have 144,000 leaders. We see that Revelation 7. We studied that already. And these 144,000 are going to lead the people physically, in person. They're going to be moving around from town to town, city to city, like the early apostles, not relying on satellites, on cellular phones, on computers, just by word from person to person. By the word of mouth.
Okay,
but the old times.
You said 144,000, but still, what does the two witnesses have to do?
These two witnesses appear. They seem like they to be the leaders of the 144,000. These two witnesses.
It's like an interpretation.
Well, you can read. If you read the rest of the chapter, you will see that nobody else in the whole Book of Revelations, okay, in fact, in the whole New Testament, has any powers like these two people have. In fact, if you keep reading.
Verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, and it rained not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Wow, okay, this is so, amazing
power. So this is to answer your question, why do I think these two guys are the leaders of the 144,000?
Okay, yes.
Okay, it doesn't say here, of course, it's an interpretation, so you can take it or leave it, but nobody else has this power.
Understand.
So basically, during the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist is going to give us, those of us who's going to not to be killed right away, going to survive, he's going to give us all kinds of problems, okay? He's going to try to force us to receive the microchip. If it's going to be the microchip, I believe it's going to be, but it doesn't matter.
You
can just call it Mark of the Beast. And you cannot go to the supermarket and do shopping. You cannot buy a cellular phone. You cannot renew your, you cannot charge your cellular phone. You cannot have a computer. You cannot take a bus. You cannot take a train. You cannot drive the car. You cannot go pay the road tax for your car. You cannot go to the gas station and put fuel into your car because you need to pay and the money is not going to be valid. You can only pay with the mark of the beast on your forehead or your right hand. You can see Revelation 13. So what are you going to do? So God is going to have 144,000 leading us and telling us what to do, where we can find refuge. He's going to have these two witnesses here who's going to be two olive branches. Why olive? Because the olive, remember the wise virgin, they are the lamp full of oil. That's not physical oil. It's spiritual oil.
Yes.
Oil is what gives fuel to the weak, which gives light.
Yes.
So basically, this olive represents the Holy Spirit, represents the Word of God. It represents a message of God. It represents what God is saying during the Great Tribulation, during the time of the greatest darkness ever, what to do, where to do it, where to go, how to go, who to meet, who not to meet, who the true brethren are, who the false brethren are, like the traps ahead that you have to avoid, if you should stay in your house, if you change, if you should stay...
Are they going to tell us all the things?
If you should stay in your city or change, if you should stay in your country, in your continent, and change. And by the way, the time to move is now.
Are they going to tell us all these things, like really guide us and tell us specifically what to do step by step? These two witnesses will lead us?
These two witnesses, they were going to be probably on... satellite TV all over the world. They're going to be advertised as some kind of UFO aliens who send fire from the mouth to destroy their enemies. They're going to be presented like some kind of aliens terrorist. They're going to be presented.
By the Antichrist, you mean?
Yeah, the Antichrist, the CNN, they're going to be, all the Antichrist TV are going to be there. See, these guys are killing the police. These guys are burning up, sending fire. Probably they came from with some flying saucer from, they are aliens that came here to destroy the world. Remember the movie Independence Day? They were these aliens that came into the planet just to destroy. They ask, why are you destroying our planet? They say, because we hate you, we just want to destroy you. Well, what do you want? We just want to destroy you. So Hollywood, the devil through Hollywood is preparing the world, brainwashing the world, that these aliens are going to come to destroy the world. So when the rapture come, when Jesus come on flying on a horse from the sky, you can see the Revelations 19:11, they're going to say, oh, aliens, let's make war against them. Understand? They're going to interpret everything in a UFO alien key.
To make it look bad.
To
yes.
make it look bad.
But what you just said earlier, I want to clarify in my mind that they will prophesy where you need to go and who you need to go with and how are you going to survive. Is this the goal of the two prophets? Like the Lord is going to lead us through them?
The goal of these two is to prophesy for 42 months. They're going to be in Jerusalem, as we will read the further up in the chapter. The place is Jerusalem. They're going to be there prophesying right in the seat, right the place, the center where the Antichrist is going to be, where he's going to put the abomination of desolation in the temple. They're going to go there right in front of the temple or someplace around that area and prophesy and blast the Antichrist and curse the Antichrist in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of God. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be there.
And what will they prophesy?
They're going to be prophesying the word of God.
The word of God.
They're going to be, what I'm preaching here myself in my little good for nothing man of God I am, they're going to do multiply by much more. I mean, I wish I could cause some national catastrophe against some of these antichrists today who are promoting abortions, who are doing wars, who are so hypocrites from their there are presidents of nations are so hypocrites, are promoting homosexuality, promoting gay marriage, promoting abortions, starting wars, killing children, doing an atomic race. I wish I could send some national
catastrophe. You actually would?
Of course I would.
You think that's godly?
Yeah, but that's what the Bible says. Read it again. Yeah, 5 and 6. Read it. Revelation 11, 5 and 6.
Yes, but this is against the Antichrist.
But can you read it? Yeah, but that's against the Antichrist. I would like to send this thing.
And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will.
You understand? Some catastrophe.
You know what it says?
Some earthquakes are coming from the devil. Some catastrophe, but some catastrophes are from God to limit, to control, limit evil.
But it says, that if any man will hurt them, he must die in this manner. He must be killed
exactly.
With the fire. So I think if you say that we can send a national catastrophe to somebody, you kill innocent and guilt. You kill everybody.
But that's what it says. They can hurt the whole world as many times as they want. We're talking about here a world that is full of the mark of the beast. You see, the bride of Christ, the woman, the faithful Christian, those who obey are going to be protected. They have, as in Revelation 12, 6 and 14, they have a place prepared of God to be protected. So we're talking about here, when the devil attacks you, when the devil's armies bother you, it's happening now. I mean, they're attacking countries if they didn't do anything wrong. Iraq wasn't doing anything wrong. Afghanistan was there sleeping. They went to wake up their sleeping dog.
So
they are creating the terrorists. The terrorists should go. You should send missionaries. No. Soldiers to shoot them, killing them. They send drones, they send missiles. 90% were the killer civilians. They are provoking them. You know, if you go on the internet, you see these Muslim mothers who dress up their children, 5-6-year-old children, and they put a bunch of bombs around the waist of their little children to teach them to go blow themselves up. But these terrorists are created. They don't come from nothing. They come from the true terrorists who are the Americans. I'm talking about the Christless Americans.
One thing though, I wanna back up a little bit. You are saying that the 144,000 and these two witnesses are actually God's way to lead us through the Great Tribulation. And that's very encouraging to know that, because you said there will be no, you know, cellular phones, no nothing to be able to communicate. But the Lord will supernaturally guide us through His leaders.
Yes, this oil that represents, these are my olive tree, you see. The tree generates oil. I believe these two are going to give the oil to the 144,000 and to every leader of God during the Great Tribulation to fuel, to give light. The oil is to fuel the light which the 144,000 are going to shed on a dark world where we cannot be led by some preacher preaching on TV or go Sunday morning to a church where by then all the churches still exist and not destroyed are going to be recognized by the state all with the mark of the beast. And they're going to have the cross with the 666 on top. You understand? So where do you get the truth? It's going to be like those churches or the days of Stalin. They were preaching false Christ. The same false Christ is being preached in the recognized Christian churches of China today. You understand? So then, where do you get the truth? There is going to be two witnesses in Jerusalem preaching the truth and proclaim it in a way that everybody will know. All right, and that truth is the oil. It's a spiritual oil we're talking about here. It's like the oil of the Virgin. That oil, that truth will be amplified by the 144,000 who are going to walk around, all right, all over the world in a time where they and nobody and no Christian can use the computer, the cellular phone, the email, nothing. You can use a photocopy machine, you can use nothing. Okay, so there will be a word from mouth to mouth is like repeating the message like in the early church. You know, when the Russians found out that the Americans were having this control all over the world, you know what they did? They started buying typewriters, which are hand typewriter, without electronic, without nothing. Just the typewriters we used to use 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and 30 years ago. That's what the KGB started to do in Russia. When they realize that everything that's email, everything that's electronic, everything that is computer, everything that is a cellular phone, it is controlled, Then they invested a bunch of money, it was in the newspapers, into normal typewriters that worked without electricity.
That is very smart. Leave it to the Russians, we can learn a lot from them.
Do we go on to the next scripture?
Yeah.
Yes, we continue.
Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them.
Okay, do you understand that?
Yes, I do, but I do because you explained in the previous chapters who's this beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit. But can you explain again?
Okay, the beast, it says here, is definitely the Antichrist because for 42 months he persecutes the God's people. And in fact, he kills the two prophets. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely...
So this is the Antichrist.
How long is the testimony? He said, in verse, exactly. God says in verse 2 and 3, I will give my two witnesses to prophesy for 42 months. That's the length of the tribulation.
Which you explained is the tribulation, yeah.
Everything explained in this chapter is a parallel of Revelation 13. It's the same beast, the same 42 months, the same persecution, etc. So basically, we are talking about the same period, the Great Tribulations.
But why now? You read this, how the Lord anoints these two witnesses. He gives them incredible power. And, you know, your hopes just grow, thinking in the Great Tribulation, I have some hopes. And now they get killed. Why does God allow them to get killed?
Because the rapture is coming. It's time to go to heaven. Why did God allow Jesus to be killed?
Well, he had a plan for his life to pay for our sins.
Yes.
But these witnesses were giving hope probably to other Christians.
But the job is finished. They finished the 42 months, they finished their job. Why did God allow for 300 years the Christian to be murdered?
I don't know.
Why did Paul say in Acts 14:22, say, through many tribulations he shall enter the kingdom of God. It's only the false prophets of today who preach prosperity, money, who will deceive you. I tell you, our job here is to preach the gospel, even if you have to die. And preaching the gospel, believe me, is a sacrifice. Like Jesus, when he was speaking to Ananias, said, go to Saul of Tarsus, and go there and baptize him and everything. All right, in Acts chapter 9, what did Jesus tell Ananias? I will show him many things he will have to suffer for me. You know, for unto you it is given, Paul said to the Philippians, say, unto you it is given to believe in Christ. I think it's Philippians 1:21. Not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake.
Yes.
It's only the false Christian prophets who preach that God wants you happy, full of money, drinking coke, watching TV, having a big villa because God loves you. These are the false prophets. I don't even know those guys are saved.
But this does look like, it looks like the devil won.
Yeah, the Antichrist, in the Great Tribulation, if you read the Revelation 13:7, okay, he will win the worldwide church, not the bride, not the Christian who obey, attention, not the Christians who listen to God's voice, to in tune with the Holy Spirit, and to who will know when it's time to flee and go and hide for 3.5 years of tribulation. Revelation 12, 6 and
yet, I'm
and
sure,
14.
I'm sure the two witnesses are the bride and they walk in obedience.
Yeah, but the brother Joseph just says something. They get killed because the rapture is coming. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that better, please?
Yeah, God says I give them to prophesy 42 months. At the end of the testimony, Revelation 11:7, at the end of the testimony, when is that? After?
42 months.
42 months. They get killed.
In other words, at the end of the tribulation.
In other words, the rapture is coming. In this chapter, you see the rapture. In this chapter, we're going to study in a moment. In this very chapter, you see that after these 42 months, there is a rapture.
In other words, after the tribulation.
After the tribulation. These 42 months, when they finish the testimony, okay, the 42 months are finished. At the end of the testimony. How long is the testimony? 42 months. At the end of the 42 months, God allows them to be killed, just like Jesus, just like
any
martyr.
But to be raptured, they don't need to be dead. They can be alive.
No, they don't. They are not killed so they can be raptured. They are killed because they are like Jesus, like every martyr. In this case, God allows them to be killed. Okay?
Yes, okay.
Okay, so that's it. So it's pretty simple until now, right? Do you want to read verse 8?
Verse 8, Revelation 11. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Sodom and Egypt, what is this?
Well,
because Sodom doesn't exist anymore, and Egypt, what does that have to do?
Okay, well, it's self-explanatory. So this place where they are killed is called in the spirit, in God's eyes, is called Sodom and
Egypt.
So is that a good place or a bad place?
Bad.
It's a terrible place, Sodom.
Very bad.
Okay, now, it tells you where this place is.
It says where also our Lord was crucified.
Okay, the place where Jesus was crucified in God's eyes is like Sodom. Now, question, where was Jesus crucified?
But that's Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem.
But Jerusalem is considered the holy city.
The people consider the holy city.
Yes.
Okay, it will become holy again when Jesus comes back. But until now, it's Sodom. That's where God allowed the Romans in 70 AD. General Titus, Romans and his armies came down, destroyed Israel. And for 2,000 years, until 1948, Israel did not exist. 2,000 years? Why? Because as a punishment that they rejected Jesus. Okay, like Jesus said in Matthew 21, toward the end. Okay, what did Jesus say to the Jews? The kingdom of God is to be taken away from you and given to another nations. The Christian nation. So what they call the holy land today is just for the tourist. But in the Bible, it's called Sodom. Why? Because they still rejected Jesus.
Yes, I understand.
So they even call the Jews God's people. They're not God's people. They're not God's people. All right? God's people, God doesn't have two people, the Jews and the Christians. The Christians are the spiritual Jews. Like it says in Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 9, say the God's people, the true Jews, are those who are spiritual Jews.
We studied this with very good detailed scriptures from the Bible in Revelation chapter 7.
Yeah.
You can follow that chapter and actually take good notes so you can answer other people when they ask you who are God's people today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also on our YouTube, you can find Bible studies about who are the 144,000 on the account called End Time 7777.
Okay, four sevens, right?
Yes, four seven.
So I don't need to go back and teach that all over again, right?
No, but you can write in any questions you have. We can clarify.
It is. So this is very clear here. It's, Jerusalem today is called Sodom. It will become again the city of God after the Jews get converted. When do they get converted? In this chapter, right here, we are studying today. Keep reading.
All right, let's keep reading. Verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth.
All right, so why don't they bury them?
Out of sheer
joy. I mean, they even have a new law.
Joy.
Antichrist, the new Europe, they have a law, as soon as somebody dies, you to bury right away the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're afraid the guy resurrects. So they want to make sure he's so antichrist. But here, no. Here they want to keep them there on the streets. Why?
To enjoy.
First of all, to fulfill the prophecy. They don't know. And second of all, they want to enjoy. They want the CNN, the antichrist and the devil's end.
But why does God allow this?
To go film them.
Why does God allow this? That they actually don't bury them?
Well, you'll see in a minute.
Yeah?
Did you finish there?
So, verse 9 and 10, I read.
Did you see the same gifts?
Yes.
Okay.
They send gifts one to another.
Verse 9, it says, and the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see the dead bodies. This is an incredible prophecy here of intercontinental TV.
It's true. Wow. So many thousands of years ago.
You see? Thousands of years ago, it's a prophecy. I mean, the only way and all the nations can see to dead bodies is through intercontinental satellite TV.
It's true.
There's another prophecy about that. Okay, so do you have any more questions? Keep reading.
Well, I had a question. You said you will answer after we keep reading. My question was, why does God allow them to stay there?
We'll see. This we'll see in a moment.
Okay, and you better read so I can get my answer.
Read.
Verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon those which saw them.
Okay, so you got the answer? Because
they were resurrected.
Because they were supposed to resurrect.
And because God wanted everybody to see it, huh?
Everything, yeah.
Wow.
Keep reading.
So that's why the beast killed them. God had a plan to start with.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
God wanted to show the resurrection. I wanted to scare some heaven into them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them.
All right. Say a voice. Yeah. Come up here. So
they resurrected and then they went to heaven.
All right. So, somebody would think, okay, so 3.5 years, 42 months, they fly in heaven. This looks like the what?
Like the rapture.
The rapture. Wrong.
No.
Wrong.
But it does
even
look
though
like...
I am a full heart, full blast teacher of the rapture after their
on radio
tribulation.
Blast, amen.
Right. Even though I definitely preach the rapture after the tribulation, which is now finished, this is not the rapture.
Well, I don't understand.
You just told us earlier, a few scriptures earlier, that it is the rapture.
Okay. You said it. We will show you in this chapter that it is the rapture.
This is not the rapture.
Okay.
So what does it mean, a voice from heaven saying, come here?
Why don't I send you to 1 Thessalonians 4,
okay.
15 and 16. Let me see
First Thessalonians 4.
Let me see if you understand alone what I'm trying to say here.
Okay. From 15?
Until 16.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Then, keep reading. 17.
17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
So do you understand yet? So what comes before the rapture?
The dead are resurrecting first.
Okay, so go back to Revelation 11 now again.
Yeah.
12. All right, so here we see the two prophets ascending up to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, understand. So before the rapture, what happens?
The dead in Christ have to rise.
Okay, so what is this?
That's in verse 11.
Yes.
They were dead, the beast killed them, and then they resurrected.
So what is this then? So
the resurrection.
The resurrection
That's
of
right.
the dead. See, they are dead, so they are not raptured. They are resurrected, mm-hmm. which according to 1 Thessalonians 4, is supposed to precede the rapture.
Yes. All right. Clear.
So keep reading now.
So verse 12 I did, verse 13. At the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and they gave glory to the God of heaven.
14.
The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly.
Okay, so... And many give the glory. Who gave the glory to God? There is a specific name.
The people who are left.
No. Read the Bible.
Yes. The remnant.
The remnant. Don't change the words around.
Yes.
Because in the Old Testament, it talks about the remnant. You say, even though, like Paul says in the Romans, so Paul quotes in the book of Romans, a prophecy from the Old Testament, which says, even though the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. You understand?
Yes.
So what he's saying here, this is when and where the remnant shall convert to Christ.
The remnant of what?
Remnant of Israel. These are the people of Jerusalem.
This is happening in Jerusalem?
In Jerusalem. The
tenth part of the city will fall.
Exactly. There's going to be, you know, all those buildings, all those ruins, all those historical stuff, and the empty tomb of Jesus, etc. We had the 40 crusades over an empty tomb, etc., etc. You know, because it's an earthquake to show you how much God values those ruins. I mean, God is into living church, not dead churches. So here is where the remnant gets saved. This is where the remnant of the Jews gets saved.
At the rapture.
Well, the rapture hasn't come yet. You see, we only saw
the resurrection.
We only saw the resurrection.
Yes.
If you go to Zechariah, 12:10. You know,
okay.
Do you have it there?
Yes. Zechariah 12. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
Okay, so they shall be embittered because they realize for the first time that they crucified the true Messiah. They shall be embittered. See, Zechariah 12, you just read, and also Zechariah 14, they're both talking about the day of the Lord. Okay? So basically, this is where Israel gets converted after the first resurrection. But keep reading. 15. And here is the bomb.
And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Okay.
Wow. The seven angels sounded.
You understand?
Not only, but it says the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. So that means that is the end of all the evil of the Antichrist,
there is something
no?
more important in the scripture. Read it carefully.
And the seven angels sounded, okay. and there were great voices in heaven.
Ah, yes.
Okay, now go to 1 Corinthians 15.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 15.
This is the big thing of the scripture. Remember,
yes.
so first we read in... You go 1 Corinthians 15?
Yes.
Okay, first we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, first the resurrection and then the rapture.
Yes.
So now we saw the resurrection here in Revelation 11. Come up here. Okay, what verse was that? 10?
12.
10, 11, 12. That's it. Come up here. So we saw the resurrection. Okay, then we see the conversion of the Jews. Okay, and then what's missing here?
The rapture.
The rapture is missing. Where is the rapture? So in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, we read.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
You understand? So this the trumpets are seven. Revelation 8, verse 1 and 2. Seven trumpets. Six trumpets sounded already in Revelation 8 and 9. Six trumpets, the trumpet of tribulation. There's a trumpet missing.
Yes.
The seven trumpet signals the end of the tribulation after the two witnesses are killed at the end of the 42 months.
Yes.
Okay, so it signals the end of the tribulations, the already happened resurrections.
Yes.
And the rapture. Okay? Because Paul says to the Corinthians, we shall be risen at the seventh trumpet. In Matthew 24, 29 to 31, Jesus comes back, immediately after the tribulation, at the sound of the trumpet. Okay, God makes it like unmistakable. It's only the false prophets who are teaching, oh, there'll be a secret rapture. It's so secret, even the Bible doesn't say. It's so secret, even nobody knows. That's so ridiculous.
No, God actually makes it quite evidable and audible, a trumpet will sound.
Come on, something is so secret that God doesn't know, the Bible doesn't know. I don't think it exists. Amos 3:7 says, God does nothing except showing his secret to his servant the prophet. There's no secret that God is not revealing to his bride, to his faithful church, and to his prophet. What are prophets good for if they don't prophesy? Okay, please, give me a break.
So then.
Before I blow up.
So then this chapter alone, Revelation 11, gives us a very clear chronology of the events.
Right.
The Great Tribulation, 42 months. The two witnesses are killed, they resurrect.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rapture with the seventh trumpet.
Exactly. So, Tribulation, 42 months. They are killed at the end of 3.5 years, 42 months. Resurrections. The conversion of the Jews, because they see the resurrection, right? And rapture. So it's kind of the same time. Conversion of the Jews, rapture is kind of the same time. I don't want to be hair splitting, how many minutes. Maybe they convert when the trumpet sounds. We don't know that details, okay?
Yes.
But more or less, this is the chronology, okay? Let's not be too hair splitting.
Yes.
Clear?
Yes. But why did you say when I read verse 12, they ascended up hither? Why did you say this is not the rapture?
Because that's the resurrection.
But the ascension is the rapture.
No, the resurrection is not the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. 1 Thessalonians 4.
Ah, okay. I understand that.
It's not the rapture.
So this ascension is not the rapture?
No, it's the resurrection
of the dead.
You just read it, 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 17. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. Got that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Keep this reading?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow.
If you want another chronology of the rapture, real quick, can I just throw it in?
Yes.
Okay, just for good measure. In As far as, you know, secret rapture, middle rapture before the tribulation, etc., etc. These are just baloney. It's not true. Okay, here I give you another demonstration. In Revelation 20, verse 1 to 4, what 1 to 3 is Satan is put in prison. Verse 4, we see the saints ruling and reigning with Christ a thousand years. It says, they that got the victory over the mark of the beast, over the etc., etc. This can happen only after the tribulation.
After the great tribulation, okay. Yes.
And then it gives you a chronology even here. It says, they sit and reign with Christ. Okay, in verse 4, Revelation 20, verse 4. And then 5 and 6, okay, it talks about the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. So here's the chronology. Number 1, the tribulations.
Yes.
Verse 4, 20, verse 4. Number 2, the?
Resurrection.
Resurrection. Clear?
Yes.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. Now, when is the rapture? We go again to 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, the dead in Christ are risen.
The resurrection.
Second, we which are alive and remain. Rapture after the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yes.
Write it down.
Yes.
Then, back to Revelation 20. First, the
great tribulation.
Tribulation. Second, the
resurrection.
Resurrection. And, 1 Thessalonians 4. Third,
the rapture.
The rapture. Do you understand?
After the tribulation.
Here is another perfect chronology of A, tribulation, B, resurrection, C, the rapture, if you need that. But I can show you in many other ways. You see, I'm mind you, only scriptural. No elucubration, squeezing my half a kilo brain until the lemon comes out, okay? No interpretation, breaking your arm behind your back, twisting scripture.
Thank
Amen?
You,
so
Amen.
That's the way
Thank
we need
Jesus.
To go, brethren. Otherwise, we become false prophets too.
Amen.
Next.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation 11, verse 16.
Read it. Praise God.
And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are and was and are to come, because you have taken to you your great power and have reigned. And the nations were angry, and your wrath is come. And the time of the dead, they that should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servant the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear your name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth.
Got that?
So they are worshipping God, and they are telling him that he's going to give justice to everybody. Right?
Yeah, it's basically what's happening is the kingdom of the world have become the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, praise God, this is the happy ending. He said, the rapture, we live now. We can live forever happy and, you know. Now the guy got the girl. Understand? You know the Hollywood movie? They used to be that the guy, the hero, got the beautiful girls and they lived happy forever. Now I understand Hollywood has changed. Now it's just the devil taking over all the time. But here we see the good guy, the good man, Jesus, getting the girl, the bride, and they live forever happy in forever happy in heaven. Revelation 20 verse 4. And they rule and reign with Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And this is all the hell we're going to get, brethren. All the lake of fire we will ever get, all the hell we'll ever get, it will be just these 3.5 tribulations, and then we'll be heaven for eternity. And right now, all the heaven that the devil's people are going to get is the fancy cars, the nice houses, and the headaches to pay the bills or whatever. And for them, you know what heaven is for the New World Order, the Antichrist people? It's just exploiting people, taxing them, making them work like slaves, enjoy when they suffer. That's the heaven. For me, their hell has already begun. It's a hell of a selfishness of a world. Amen. But, praise God, soon our heaven is going to begin. And my heaven has a picture. My heaven has I have an image of heaven. I have an illustration of heaven. And it's Jesus hugging me.
Thank you,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Amen.
Praise God.
There is one more scripture left.
Yeah?
Verse 19.
What does it say?
And the temple of God.
I didn't know that.
And the temple of God was opened in heaven.
Okay.
And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament.
Mm-hmm.
And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. You know, I actually saw a movie that was looking for the ark.
Yeah, it was Indiana Jones. Looking for the lost ark.
Yeah, I don't remember, but there are movies that are looking out for the ark.
Yeah, in fact, they're still looking. Yeah? They're trying to figure out if the Babylonians took it or the Romans took it. They say maybe there's some basement under in Jerusalem, blah, blah. The Jews are still looking for the ark. They're looking in, even in Hollywood through the movies, but they never find it because it's written in a place, in a book they don't believe, the New Testament. It says right here, the address. The address is Revelation Street, Block 11, Apartment 19. Revelation 11:19. The Ark is in heaven.
Wow! Thank you, Lord.
Because the Ark was the place where the God's spirit really was. You think God was going to allow the Romans just to take it? Forget it. The Philistines tried to take it. They got hemorrhoids. They got pestilences. Their god Dagon fell down.
It's true.
And they banged his head, but didn't get the point. They took the crane and lift him up again because the god was so tired they couldn't get up by himself. And so they fell again, and he cut off his head, he cut his hands. So the Philistines said, we're getting the hint here. He said, the hand of God is heavy on our God. We better ship him somewhere else. So they send it to some other city, and everybody goes sick. He said, we don't want him here. Praise God, he's in heaven.
It's amazing, though, that all the answers are in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
People are trying to always come up with things and interpretations and fantasies.
You know, I'm not so worried.
But just read the Bible.
I'm not so worried about getting, I love to get revelations from God. And I got many, many revelations. But the revelation I get is that God opens the Bible to me. And these are the best revelations. Like, you know, there are so many false prophets today. People invent prophecies because they have to be a prophet, of course. They have to sell books. They have to make some millions of dollars for the glory of God. The glory of God, of course, is their pocket, their bank account. But you don't need all this personal revelation. Yeah, the personal revelations are great. I love them, and I had many. But, you know, the things that really God, the way God has led me, just revealed the Bible to me. All you need is wisdom, you know, wisdom to understand the Bible. I'm not saying you shouldn't be a prophet. It's great. You need to be a prophet. In fact, a lot of time we have to make decisions here, which are not written in the Bible. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, will guide you into all truth. Definitely need the Holy Spirit. I'm not speaking against the gift of prophecy. We got many prophecies, but thank God for that. But what I'm saying, when you teach the sheep, are they going to know between the Scofield, Bible full of false prophecies, other Bibles which are just as bad. There are cemeteries today who teach they use Bibles which are full of false interpretation. People come out from the seminary, they go teach in church, and they extend the same lies and false teachings. And they say we need to show people, not teach them from the footnote garbage of the Bible.
Amen.
But to teach from the Bible. What they're doing, they are teaching from other people's interpretation. They require them to memorize in order to get the theological diploma. Then they become perfect Pharisees after that. Pray for them. Thank God for the true churches who teach only the Bible. Thank God for the true Christians who teach only the Bible. Thank God for those Christians whose diploma is Bible. Okay, thank God for the true church, which are not many.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Joseph. Thank you.
God bless God. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus, for Jesus. All the glory to Him. I will take one credit. I will take one little credit. All the mistakes were made.
What is that?
The mistakes are made. Any mistakes are made in this teaching. If I yell too much, if I go to accept too much, well, they put everything on the devil. Okay.
We are a radio blast, Brother Joseph.
I love you. That's why I'm trying to calm things down a little. Yeah, I know, but it's like, dear brethren, if I yell too much, forgive me, but it's the devil upset against it. It's the lies I'm fighting. I like the Don Quixote attacking every windmill, every lying windmill, you know. I charge every time I see a windmill, every time I see a false doctrine, I charge a full blast. You understand? And so, I love you. Praise God.
Amen.
Please get on your knees and don't get up until you get the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit so you understand the Bible. See, the Daniel 12:10, it says the wicked will not understand in the end time, but the wise will understand. Okay? Amen. Daniel 12, verse 4 and 10. Said the wicked and the untied will not understand. So if you don't understand the Bible, either you're wicked, or maybe you're not saved, or maybe you're a sincere Christian who just don't have the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you have the Holy Spirit, but you allow the false prophets to brainwash you. Get out of Laodicea or Philadelphia. Come, follow Jesus.
In Jesus'
name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen.